The reading is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, and is to be found on page 1174 in the Church Bible. Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Richard. You may want to keep that passage open as we work through it together this morning at page 1174. Let's just pray. Lord, this is a tremendous passage full of richness that we're going to look at this morning. I just pray that you will give each of us open ears, open hearts, and open minds to hear what you have to say to us. Amen. As we saw in the family slot, the book Guess How Much I Love You is a lovely story illustrating that love is not an easy thing to measure, and that's what we're exploring today. This amazing passage, this wonderful prayer that Paul prays for the Christians in Ephesus, but it's a prayer that is just as important for us today. There's a central theme that runs through the passage, and that is the fullness of the love of God, and the challenge for us to grasp it. There's also the challenge that as we get a sense of how much is on offer, how can we possibly start to receive such immense, powerful love? So we'll have a look at these and what our response should be. John Stott, who writes commentaries, describes this prayer as a staircase in which Paul climbs higher and higher in his aspirations for the Ephesian Christians. He says that Paul prays firstly that the Ephesians may be strengthened by the indwelling of Christ through his Spirit, then that they may be rooted and established in his love, thirdly that they may know Christ's love, and finally that they may be filled right up to the very fullness of God. So as we look through the passage, we'll see how all these themes point to God's love. Now, our passage starts with, for this reason, which actually links us back to verse 1 of chapter 3. So Paul is returning to his original thoughts from the start of the chapter. So for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, kneel before the Father. Now, there's no set way for us to pray. We can simply bow our heads and close our eyes. We could sit with our heads lowered. We could stand and lift our hands up. We could lay flat on the floor with our face to the floor. Or we can kneel before God. There is no right or wrong way. But there's something about kneeling before God in prayer that seems to show a sense of humility and loyalty to God. When Paul considers the majesty of God's worldwide work of the redemption of Christ, he responds in the only appropriate way he can. Humble adoration of God the Father, the great King. So he kneels before God to pray this prayer for the Ephesians. And what a prayer it is. So let's dive in. Verses 16 and the first part of 17 say, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Out of his glorious riches, isn't that a wonderful phrase? It made me think of, you know, a treasure room or something, lots of wonderful jewels and things to choose from. And that made me think about all the gifts that God gives us and, you know, that he can give us. And we all have different ones. And out of all those available, he chooses to give all of us his grace and love. Gifts that are freely given. Nothing we do can earn them. It's through his grace and love that we may be strengthened. Paul's prayer is for God's power to be in our innermost selves through the Holy Spirit and Christ in our hearts through faith, trusting him with our everyday lives, trusting him with our whole lives. Paul is praying this prayer for Christians in Ephesus, so it might seem slightly odd that he's praying for Christ to dwell in their hearts. When we become a Christian, we know the Holy Spirit comes into us and that Christ is in us and will never leave us. So why is Paul praying this? What's the need? So we know God will never abandon us. And Jesus said he'll be with us to the end of time. So it reads really oddly the first time you read it. But if you've been a Christian for a long time, do you find there's times when you feel more filled by the Spirit? Times when you feel closer to God? And other times when you feel more distant? And I wonder if that's what Paul is getting at. He is reminding the Christians that Christ dwells in our hearts, and that should have an impact on us. Paul's use of the word dwelling for Christ being in our hearts is an interesting one. There are two Greek words for dwelling. One means to inhabit a place as a stranger, not to stay forever. And Paul uses this in chapter 2, verse 19. But here, in our reading, he uses the word that means to settle down somewhere for it to be a permanent abode. Isn't that a wonderful image? Christ living permanently in our hearts. And what Paul is asking for is a strengthening of God's Spirit that through faith, the Ephesians' inner being would be strengthened and grow as Christ dwells in their hearts. And as Christ dwells in their hearts, they will have a deeper understanding of God's love for them. And then Paul goes on at the end of verse 17 to pray that you being rooted and established in love. Did any of you see that film footage of a forest floor in Scotland being lifted up like a carpet during Storm Babette? If you haven't, it's still on the BBC News website. Have a look. It's a really weird sight. The power of the storm's wind was so great at the tops of the trees, and the roots of the trees were so shallow and intertwined that as the trees swayed in the storm, the ground lifted up like a carpet. The poor dog out on its walk looked very bemused as it was being lifted up and down. And I'm not sure I would have hung around to film this incredible phenomena, but I'm pleased somebody did, because it was such a great illustration of the opposite of what Paul is praying. He's praying that our faith isn't like that forest floor. He's praying that our faith is strong because it is rooted and established in God's love. Some Bible translations have grounded, rooted and grounded. So rooted is an agricultural image. It's things with deep roots stay strong. They aren't easily torn out of the ground. Deep roots mean they'll still reach water when there is little rain, keeping the plant or tree alive during times of drought. Grounded is more of an architectural term. It means building on firm foundations, deep foundations that are not easily washed away when the storms come. It reminds me of that children's song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came down and the floods came up and the house stood firm. Unlike the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand fell flat." Paul is praying that these Christians will be strengthened by God's love. But he's also praying that their faith has deep roots in Jesus, so that when life's hardships hit us, we have the strength to stay anchored to Jesus, to turn to him for our support. Like a tree with deep roots that can reach water deep underground during times of drought, and it remains standing in the greatest of storms, so will we be when we face hardships and difficulties if we are rooted in Christ. We will be able to stand firm, knowing that Jesus is with us in those hard places and that we don't lose faith. And along with those deep roots, Paul goes on to pray in verse 18, that may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul's prayer here is for us to try and comprehend the meaning of God's love. Interestingly, Paul uses language that even in the Greek is not really clear about what type of measurement he's using. He speaks of length and width and height and depth. We're back to our little nut brown hair and guess how much I love you in discovering just how difficult it is to measure love. However much we think God loves us, he loves us more. So much more than we can really understand. But Paul is praying that the Ephesians will know how greatly God loves them and that they will know the transforming power that God's love has. I found John Stott's explanation really helpful in trying to get my head around this. He says, Jesus' love is so wide it encompasses all of mankind. Everyone on earth can follow Jesus. It is so long it lasts for eternity. Jesus conquered death, his love will last forever. It is so deep, it reaches the degraded sinner. No matter what we have done wrong, Jesus loves us if we turn to him, accept him as our Lord and Saviour, and we repent of our sins. And it is high enough to exalt Jesus to heaven. But I love the word of caution that Paul brings in verse 19, that he prays we know the depth and breadth of Jesus' love for us, but that we also know this love that surpasses knowledge. Paul is saying that we can get a sense of Christ's love, but it is limited by our experience. We know what God has done in our lives, but Paul goes on to pray that we recognise that and know that no matter how loved we feel, God's love is even greater. Still even wider, longer, higher and deeper than we can ever hope to imagine. Paul then goes on to pray that we realise that it is only together with other Christians that we have the power to comprehend Christ's love. It's not something we can really understand on our own, as our own experience is too limiting. And that really struck me. I hadn't really thought of it before. It's here in this place with my Christian family that we can begin to understand what God's love is and what it can do in our lives. As we come together, we hear from others about how God is working in their lives. We see God at work in our Christian brothers and sisters, which is both a privilege and an encouragement. Especially in those times when you may be struggling or in a hard place and you wonder, where is God? But alongside your fellow Christians, you can see God working out in their lives. Through chatting and praying with them, you can maybe be encouraged and see God working out in your life, or at least be reminded that he is with you in that hard place. I don't think it's something that you would see if you were alone, when it's much easier to get wrapped up in your own thoughts and worries. If you're a new Christian, being with others in worship and fellowship is a wonderful way to not only learn about God, but to see his love in action. Being together as a Christian family helps us all grow in experience, encouraging each other to see and understand just how amazing and great God's love for us is. Coming together as the Lord's holy people also enables us to live as God wants us to, encouraging each other as we go. For example, it enables us to be generous in our giving and serving, not to worry when the secular world looks at us and thinks we're slightly odd. I've been asked on more than one occasion if I get paid for being a reader, And there is genuine surprise when I say no, that this is the way I can serve God and use the gifts he has given me, although you may disagree with that one. The church centre, as we've heard, is proof of people's love for the Lord, but society may not understand how or why we donated to raise the money for the building work. But together we know it's because we love God and want to glorify him. Paul ends this part of his prayer recognising that whilst we may not fully comprehend God's amazing love for us, he prays that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. When I was a barmaid in the local working man's club, my customers would get very grumpy with me if their beer was not filled to the measure, the line that marks the pint. The beer had to come to the line, the foamy head above that. And whilst we're talking about something else, I think it's a helpful analogy. Being filled to the measure is being filled to being completely full. But Paul goes further. He prays that we are filled completely of all the fullness of God. Imagine blowing up a balloon. You think it's full, but generally there's always room for another puff of air. So it is with God's love. There's always room for more. He always has more to give. But I think it's more than that. There's always room for us to grow as Christians. Paul is praying that we become so full of God that we become perfect like him. But that is something we will never attain in this life. We will always fall short. We will always mess up and sin. But that shouldn't stop us aspiring to be like God and to live lives becoming more like him, even though we know we're sinners and will fail time and again. But the great news is that God has so much to give. He is so full that he can fill us up all the way so that we can be all that he has called us to be, all that he has created us to be, and all that he desires us to be. And that's what we need to keep working towards. God expects us to keep growing throughout our lives, no matter how young or old we are, no matter whether we have been a Christian for years or have only recently come to faith. We will only be truly filled with all the fullness of God when we are in heaven, when we shall be in constant world of discovery of just how wide and deep and low and high God's love is. But until then, we keep letting God work on us in our lives. We keep letting him change and refine us in small ways, filling us up a little more each day with his love, enabling us to become more like him. Even after we slip back and sin, he will top us up with his love if we let him. This is such a bold prayer, isn't it? Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is that they may be strengthened by the indwelling of Christ through his Spirit, that they may be rooted and established in his love, that they may know Christ's love, and that they may be filled right up to the very fullness of God. The more I've let this dwell in me over the last few weeks, the more I've seen that I think this is actually more like an everlasting circle. It's only once you have let Jesus into your heart that you are strengthened by the power of the Spirit. The more that happens, the deeper your roots grow, the more you learn about love, both to love others, but to know Christ's love. And the more you know that, the more you want to live a life that reflects Jesus, that you become a little more like him as we are filled to the fullness of God himself. And then you grow in strength by the power of the Spirit, and so the circle starts again. I said it was a bold prayer, but it's also a bit scary, isn't it? It's a life-transforming prayer, one which, if we pray with our whole hearts, should lead us to change how we live, becoming more like Jesus every day as our roots in him get deeper, as we see and begin to understand what it is to feel the fullness of God's love. But as we get a sense of how much is on offer, it might feel, how on earth can we possibly start to receive such immense, powerful love? But this prayer gives us the opportunity to grasp the fullness that is on offer to us, the fullness of the love of God. So what should our response be? Let's follow Paul's lead and pray. And if it feels like a scary prayer to pray, that you don't feel ready to ask God to do all that in your life, take it one step at a time. If you're not yet a Christian, ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to dwell in your heart, that you would be strengthened by the Spirit. And don't leave this place this morning without asking someone who is a Christian to pray with you, if that's what you want to do. If you've been a Christian for a long time and maybe feeling a little jaded, then pray to be strengthened, reminded of Jesus' love in your heart, and pray that you understand a little more of God's love, that it will refine you and make you a little more like Jesus every day. And if you have any doubt that God will answer your prayer, just read the penultimate verse in our reading, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. If we pray that prayer, God will answer. He can do so much more than we ask or imagine. So I'm going to end by praying those verses in our reading. You may want to follow it in your Bibles, or you may just want to let the words settle in your heart. And if it's right for you, you can say amen silently in your head at the end. There's no compulsion. No one will know. It might not be the right time for you to pray this prayer, but it may be the right time. For some of you, it may be a chance to reaffirm your faith, acknowledging Jesus in your heart, or perhaps you want to invite him in for the first time. So let's pray. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.